It's one of these amazing passages, isn't it? John 10. And it goes on, of course, to talk some more on the same theme. But it's an amazing passage because it warns us of false teachers amongst us, false teachers in the church, and the importance of listening to the true teaching of the Lord Jesus faithfully delivered by his under-shepherds. Jesus said, "I have come to you that you might have life and have it abundantly. I have come that you may have life that overflows." Great words from this man, Jesus, who experienced life in all its fullness. Jesus knows what it's like to live in our kind of world. For life in this world has its beautiful moments. The birth of a healthy child, finding love with another, accomplishing some task that means a great deal to us, that has an impact in our lives and the lives of those around us. Seeing spring bud again into the world of nature and into our hearts. Life has its great moments, doesn't it? But it also has its seasons of pain and violence, of suffering and of grief. Over these past 2 weeks on Barra, I've been enjoying some study leave from my own parish, catching up on some reading and doing some thinking about the future direction of my own ministry. And I suppose that the last time I had this kind of real freedom to have time to read and think in quite this way was when I was a probationer minister in New Hills Church in Aberdeen. It was 1994, and during that time I remember reading an inspiring book, a book entitled Carpe Diem, written by the evangelical Christian author and preacher Tony Campolo. I've heard Tony Campolo speak a few times before I read this book at the Greenbelts Arts Festival, and even once at the General Assembly's Youth Night. And every time I heard him, he was always very loud, but also very challenging. And so too within the pages of this book, Carpe Diem. It tells of the abundant life and the search for life's meaning and purpose. And in the preface of the book, Tony Campolo writes, "It was time for me to write a book. I'm 58 years old." He's in his mid-70s now. But then, "I'm 58 years old, and I'm wondering where my life has gone. It seems to me that just as soon as my pimples cleared up, my hair fell out. And all at once, I feel like my life is on the final run. And I want to be sure that I get all that life has to offer out of what's left. And that's why I decided to stop and reflect on what my life is all about and what makes it worth living." And he goes on to say, "I want life to be fun. I want life to be rich and gratifying. And I want to know if Jesus can help make that happen. I've always preached," he said, "I've always preached about Jesus and what he can do for those who embrace the life that he offers. I have declared how living in intimate fellowship with Jesus creates an aliveness that makes people talk of experiencing eternal life right here and now. But there are times when I stop and I ask myself if all of this is true." For some 10 years, Tony Campolo taught sociology at the Eastern College in Pennsylvania. And on the first day of a seminar that he was leading there, he posed a question to his class. "How long have you lived?" he asked. No one answered, and so he picked on one of the students. And instinctively, the student answered, "24 years, sir." Campolo responded, "No, no, no, no. I didn't ask you how long you have existed as a breathing, functioning member of the human race. I want you to tell me how long you have been really alive." And by the end of the class that day, the young man said, "When I stop and think about it, Most of my life has been the meaningless passage of time between the all too few moments when I have been really alive. You know, if the truth be known, after years of life on this earth, most people die without really having lived at all. There are those who never reflect any degree of seriousness on the meaning and purpose of their lives. They eat, they sleep, they work, they reproduce, they study, they forget. They play it safe and they tiptoe through life with no aspiration other than to get all of the pleasure they can out of life and arrive at death safely. As a parish minister, first in the city of Glasgow and now in the city of Dunfermline, I have led funerals for literally hundreds and hundreds of people just like that, who have tiptoed through life and never reflected with any seriousness on its meaning or purpose. I wonder if you've seen the film Dead Poets Society. It's a poem in which the teacher, John Keating, calls his students to avoid a meaningless life. Robin Williams, the actor and comedian, plays John Keating, an English teacher at an all-boys preparatory school. And the story's set around 1959. The school was very strict, very conservative, and rich in tradition. Part of its tradition sought to make the students carbon copies of each other, carbon copies of their parents, teaching them to live life just like everyone else, simply fulfilling their purpose in life, which was, of course, what their parents deemed that purpose to be. Well, the teacher, John Keating, set out to go against that tradition because it failed to allow the students to think for themselves and to express their own uniqueness. Now, on the first day of class, Keating invited his students out of the classroom into the hallway, and he chose one of them to read the opening lines of the John Herrick poem To the Virgins to make much more of time. It goes like this. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may, old time is still a-flying, and this same flower that smiles today, tomorrow will be dying. He asked them about that opening line, gather ye rosebuds while ye may, and he told them of a Latin phrase for that sentiment, carp diem, which means seize the day. And then he led the students before a large glass case in the corridor. And through that glass you could see pictures of former students from 100 years back. And Keating says to his class, boys, look into their eyes. They're just like you. Same haircut. They're invincible, just like you feel. The world is their oyster. They believe that they're destined for great things, just like many of you. Their eyes are full of hope, just like you. But now they're fertilizing daffodils. Did they wait until it was too late to make from their lives even one iota of what they were capable? Lean closer, boys, and you can hear them whisper their legacy of dreams to you. And as the boys lean closer to the case, Keating stands behind them and whispers, carp, carp, carp diem. Seize the day, boys. Make your lives extraordinary. Throughout the film, John Keating attempts to teach these boys and to teach all of us that we only have one life on this earth. And we have the opportunity to do something extraordinary with that life. One life. A life that no doubt will have its regrets. But the size and the degree of those regrets will be determined in a large part by what we choose to do with our lives. There's another occasion in that film where John Keating gathers his class in the centre of the room and he quotes a line from Walt Whitman, the American poet, Uncle Walt as he calls him. And it's a line about life that reads, the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. I wonder if you've ever thought about your own life like that. If you had the ability to contribute a verse, what would that verse be? When I think of people who have contributed a significant verse to the powerful play, I think of people like William Wilberforce, evangelical Christian MP from Hull, who laboured all of his political career for the abolition of slavery. Or I think of people like former US President Jimmy Carter. And whatever you may think about his presidency or his politics, his humanitarian impact upon the world as a peacemaker and as an advocate for the poor is unmatched. And when he's not doing that, he's back home teaching Sunday school in his home church. And there are people like law students who defend the poor and their rights. There are social workers who do work hard to improve the lives of the disadvantaged. There are teachers who are making a difference in the lives of our children, even when they can't always see it. And there are parents investing their lives in their children. Jesus said, "I have come to you that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I have come that you might not live a life of quiet desperation. I have come that you might live deeply and find meaning. I have come so that you will not arrive at the end of your life and discover that you've not really lived at all. I have come," Jesus says, "to empower you to seize the day, every day, to risk something big for something good, to make the most of the only life that you have. Do that, we listen to Jesus' words. We listen to God's word, the Bible. We try to ignore these false teachers who come among us as wolves and sheep. For we have this one life to live. And Jesus wants it to wants us to live it abundantly. And so the powerful play goes on. And you and I may contribute a verse. I wonder what your verse will be. Let us pray.